I am preaching a series on walk in newness of life. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 17, last week we learned that the biography for every believer is the same in the Bible. It goes like this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you're a believer in Christ, God is interested in changing your life to make things become new in your life. We dealt with that last week. But I think in order to really understand that truth, that the biography for all of us is the same, and that is that we become new creatures, and that is that God makes things new in our lives, we have to understand that at the moment of salvation, we took on a new companion. That companion is the Holy Spirit. And so over the next 2 weeks, this week and then next Sunday, I want to preach on the Christian's new companion. What does that new companion mean to the life of a believer? Because I'll give you this, if we don't understand that, it's going to be hard for us to understand how he makes things new. The new companion has a big part in that. And so I want to teach and preach through that this morning. That new companion is the third person of the Trinity. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. That means he is God. And the Holy Spirit has always existed and will always exist because he has deity qualities and the fact that he is eternal. In fact, when God created man, the very first man, Adam, the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. He created us tripartite beings, or made of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. He made us in his image because we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, let us make man in our image. Us, meaning multiple gods, no, meaning one God, demonstrated in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this Holy Spirit is the new companion for somebody that believes on Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit does not seek to be the center of attention. There are some religions today and some denominations today that want to put the Holy Spirit as front and center of everything. And with it, they get off into some heretical teachings and erroneous doctrines because they do not understand that the Holy Spirit came to basically glorify or exalt the Son. We find that in John chapter 16. I want you to turn over there in your Bibles. John 16, verses 13 and 14. The Spirit's message to us is never look at me, come to me, get to know me, but it's always look at him and see him and get to know him and hear his word and go to him and have life. And get to know him and taste of his joy and his peace. Look at John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, God the Son. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. The Holy Spirit is a great companion. He's an instructor. He's a comforter. He is there for you. He is our helper. On the night before his departure, Jesus comforted his disciples. John chapter 14, turn two chapters back. Look at verse number 16. They were terrified that the one who had been alongside of them for 3 years and had walked with them and had helped them, at times had to rebuke them, but at times had to rescue them like he did Peter on the water, and at times spoke to them words of comfort and encouragement and truth. This Jesus was leaving them. And so in John chapter 14 and verse number 16, Jesus says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you," what's the next word? "Another Comforter, that He may abide with you," how long? Forever. It is interesting that Jesus said He would give them another Comforter. One of the words used for the Spirit in the New Testament is the word Comforter. It means to call someone to your side. That's what the word means throughout our New Testament. Jesus, watch this, was that person while He was on earth. Because He said, "I'll send you another Comforter." Jesus was and fulfilled that role while He was on earth with His people. Then Jesus, after the resurrection, ascended up into heaven, and He tells His disciples, "I pray the Father will send you another Comforter here." That's very, very interesting. The disciples had the idea or saw the reality that Jesus was leaving, the one that was beside them, the one that was Comforter and Teacher and Counselor and Helper, the one that was right there to help them at any time that they needed it. Now He was gone. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send you the Comforter who's going to abide with you how long? Forever." Now watch this. I want you to get the importance of this. What Jesus was to His disciples on earth and everything that He meant to them and everything that He did with them and for them, the Holy Spirit is to the believer today. "I will send you another Comforter." And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Hear me this morning. The greatest relationship that will affect your life and will transform you is your relationship to your companion, the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, John 14, 26, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things according to the Scriptures, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Boy, He's going to teach me. Boy, He's going to remind me of things that I need to be reminded of and when I need to be reminded of them. It says in John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." One of the things, that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that comes alongside of me and walks with me and lives within me is going to do is He's always going to testify of Jesus to me. He's always going to make truth to me known about Jesus Christ. He's always going to exalt Jesus in my life. That's what He's going to do. He's going to come along and He's going to teach me about Christ. And He's going to help me to know Christ. "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you," John 16, 7. "But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Huh. This Comforter is the new companion for the believer. I want you to see His ministry and work in your life and in my life over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to split the message in half. Preach about 40% of it this week and about 60% of it next week, all right? I want you to see, first of all, where does His work begin in an individual's life? It begins with the work of regeneration. That is a Bible term. I want you to see this truth over in Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3 and look at verse number 5. This Holy Spirit, preacher, is He just kind of floating out there somewhere? And He just kind of floats to different areas of the world and talks to people? No, He's a person that is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He's a person. He has feelings. We understand that in the Scriptures. And He has a work to do. What is His work to do? The first work that He does in an individual's life is the work of regeneration. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us," that's God, "by the washing of," what's the next word? Regeneration. "And the renewing of the Holy Ghost." How is a person saved? At the moment in which they put their faith in Jesus Christ. By the way, we have some people that are getting baptized today. They have put their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a day, there's a time, there's a place that they understood sin. They understood that Jesus died in their place for their sin, and that He rose again from the dead, and they put their faith in Christ. At that moment, they are saved, and there is something else that takes place at that moment. They are regenerated. What does that mean, preacher? That means that they are made alive spiritually. Before a person is saved, they are dead spiritually. That means the Bible. That means talking about the things of God. That means understanding the Scriptures. That means a desire to please God really doesn't have front and center place in their lives. But when a person gets saved, they are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They are made alive spiritually. The light bulb turns on in their life as it relates to a relationship with God and learning God's Word and understanding it and obeying it. All of a sudden, there is spiritual life. Who's a part of that work? The Holy Spirit is. The Bible says here, the washing of regeneration. We're washed from our sins. We're made alive spiritually, and we're renewed in the Holy Ghost. Turn to John chapter 3, verse number 5. There's another phraseology that goes along with this regeneration, this work of the Holy Spirit. And this is where the Holy Spirit begins a work in a life. Hear me. If you don't have the Spirit, you are none of His. And so the beginning work of the Spirit is that He regenerates you. He makes you alive. He gives you, watch this, new life and a new birth. John chapter 3, look at verse number 5. Jesus answered, He's speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is all confused. Nicodemus is a religious man. He has some knowledge about spiritual things, but he doesn't understand the truth of the gospel. And so Nicodemus is coming to Him by night. He doesn't want anybody else to know, but I've got some questions I need to ask the Master. He comes to Jesus by night, and Jesus answers him in verse number 5 and says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's physical birth, "and of the Spirit," that's spiritual birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Nicodemus gets confused. "Jesus, are you talking about me entering into my mother's womb a second time?" And Jesus goes on to say that except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What's He talking about? He's talking about salvation here. He's talking about a time where the Spirit shows somebody the truth about Jesus, helps them to understand He's their only hope, and they turn to Him and they trust Christ. They are born again. They are given new birth. And who's involved in that according to this text? The Spirit. The Spirit is involved in that new birth. The Spirit is working in a heart to bring about that new birth and that new life. It is the work of regeneration. May I address an error out there today that is within the Calvinistic structure of doctrine, and that is this: you're not regenerated before you're saved. In other words, the Spirit doesn't make you alive spiritually so that you can respond to the gospel. You are regenerated at salvation. When you come to Christ in faith, at that moment you are made alive spiritually. Be careful of false teaching out there that is very subtle, that changes just a little bit, but it has a big effect. I want to make sure that you understand the difference there. Secondly, what happens? The first work is regeneration. I'm made alive. I'm born again. I'm given new life. I'm given a new birth in Christ. Wonderful thing. What takes place next? There's something else that takes place at that moment. And that is the Spirit indwells you. He indwells you. Turn to our text, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Romans 8 and verse number 9. The Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, at salvation moves in to your life and into your heart. Romans 8 verse number 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." That means if the Spirit never came in to reside in you, my friend, I don't know what you got, but you didn't get salvation. Because salvation means the Spirit of God dwells in you. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He is in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. One of the ways that you can have assurance that you're saved is to know and sense the work and ministry of the Spirit in your life. Hereby we know that we're in Christ. Why? Because He's given unto me His Spirit. 1 John 4, verse number 13. What does this indwelling mean? It means that He's your companion. It means that He goes to bed with you. It means He goes to work with you. It means He goes with you to the hospital. And He goes with you to the funeral. It means He goes with you to church. It means He goes with you to read the Bible. It means He goes with you to pray. It means He's with you when you're fretful and when you're frustrated. And when you're feeling useless, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. He's your companion. It means He's with us when we do wrong. And He's with you with every thought that you think. It means He's with you when you're alone. He is your companion. The indwelling of the Spirit, my friend, is one of the greatest gifts that the believer enjoys. I now have a companion with me no matter where I'm at in life. I was with Brother Tim not too long ago, right before surgery. And you know, they don't let pastors go into surgery. They don't let wives go into surgery, do they, Linda? No, there's a time where the doctor came in and said, okay, we're about ready to take him, and certainly we had prayer with him. And he went, lights out. They shot a few things into his system that put him under. But guess who was there? Tim's a believer in Christ. Guess who went with him? The Holy Spirit. Because that companion never leaves us. The Bible says He gave us that companion forever. Brethren, I don't know if we live with the reality of that. But it is a reality. The indwelling of the Spirit of God. What else then, preacher? If it starts with regeneration, that takes place at salvation. And then the Holy Spirit indwells me at salvation. What else does He want to work in my life? And how else does He minister to me? I'm glad you asked. I want to take you to point number 3, and I'm done this morning. His ministry of assurance. His ministry of assurance. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 14 through 16. Do you ever get doubts about your salvation? Doubts about heaven. Doubts about whether you really meant it or not. Right? These are things that people that are believers deal with. They are, watch this, fiery darts from the enemy. But watch this. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring assurance to the believer. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Ooh, I like this. When you were made a child of God, you know what God wanted to take out of you? Fear. That's bondage. Fear about the future. Fear about death. Fear about eternity. Whoa, you haven't received that spirit. What kind of spirit have you received? Here goes. Ye have received the spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is it saying, preacher? It's saying this. It's saying that when a doubt or a fear begins to crop into your heart and well up and trouble you about the future, about eternity, about whether or not you really got saved, here comes the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, your companion. And He's going to quell that fear and that doubt. He's the Spirit of adoption, adopting us as children of God. And watch this. He's going to confirm. He's going to assure. He's going to speak words that are going to comfort and calm all of those things going on in your heart. The Spirit of God is going to do that inside your heart. Listen, it's not a verbal thing that He comes down out of heaven. Hey, Brother Larry, you need to know that you're saved today. No, watch this. It's an inward work. It is something He does in the heart that He gives assurance. How many of you, as a believer and being transparent before other believers this morning, would say at one time or another in your life, you have struggled with fear of death, you've struggled with security about eternal life, doubts in your life relating to your salvation, and you have needed the Spirit to bring assurance. Would you raise your hand? And I'm raising my hand with you because I've been there. Okay? Thank the Lord. God gave us the Spirit as a companion to give assurance. Now, we've dealt with three things this morning. Regeneration. We've dealt with the indwelling of the Spirit. And we have dealt with His ministry of assurance. The question I have as I close the message is this. Has the work of regeneration been done in your life? Have you been born again? Have you called on Christ to save you? Because the first work of the Spirit of God in an individual's life is to lead them to the truth that they need to be born again. And when a person receives that truth, they are made alive spiritually. There is a new birth that occurs. At that moment, He indwells you. It is possible that someone here this morning has no spiritual companion. And you could. You could have the Holy Spirit beginning today. Because at the moment of salvation, He indwells you. It could be that somebody here this morning has grown up in this church and you're leaning on whatever. But the truth is, you've never had any ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. That may be a lack of understanding of the Spirit, which I hope these messages will help you. But it could also be you are without the Spirit. And if you are without the Spirit, you are none of His. You're outside of safety, my friend, this morning. And you need to be one of His. You need to be genuinely saved. It could be that somebody's doubting. Man, I've been struggling with fears and doubts. Boy, I need a preacher. You got something that you can run me to in Scripture? I sure do. Romans chapter 8, 14 through 16. Man, I'm not to have that spirit of bondage that calls me again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. I'm a child of His, and I need the Spirit to confirm that to me, and the Bible says He will. He'll bear witness.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,